On Natural Resources for the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for May 13th, 2015. We have a public hearing on SB 247 related to the State Department of Fish and Wildlife fees. We have quite a number of people signed up, but not quite as many as we had earlier anticipated. So we've changed the time limit from 2 to 3 minutes. So we will keep it to 3 minutes because if we go over that, there will be people that are signed up here that will not be able to testify. So please understand that when we do get to 3 minutes, I'll be closing off testimony. And I think you've all seen this before. It's green for a period of time. And then when you got 30 seconds left, it's yellow. And then it goes red. And red means what it normally means. So we'll go ahead and start the public hearing. And I will bring up Representative Krieger first.
Who's got the red button up there?
Oh, and Representative Esquivel, if you will come forward also.
Chairs Devlin and co-chairs Rayfield, for the record, I'm Wayne Krieger, State Rep of District 1. In some ways, I'm not certain where to start. We've had so many groups working on this question. One of the questions I ask is, why are we as legislators and work groups having to assert ourselves over the Department of Fish and Wildlife over and over again? It's been going on for all 15 years that I've been here. And what other natural resource agency is scrutinized as much? They have a very diverse constituent base, I think, that causes some of that to come into being. As to the proposed fee increases, after the last fee increase, license sales went down and did not rebound as much as we thought they would. The license fee increase today, I believe, will result again in reduced license sales, and the bounce back, I believe, will be even less. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife does not seem to understand the basic economics. Less product, less opportunity, less license sales. If you cut half your production, what will you have to sell? If a store owner was short of cash, a convenience store, so he didn't order in beer, cigarettes, milk, and ice, what would happen? We know what would happen. The committee needs a map of Oregon that shows all Department of Fish and Wildlife offices, then a list of the personnel at each office and their job description, and those positions should be prioritized. This should include Salem headquarters. If there are a few fewer anglers and fewer hunters, do you need an agency of 1,200 plus employees? And if this continues to go down over the next few years, I would suggest we maybe have to take a look at some major reductions. A long-term vision for the department is badly needed. It must have a policy program, a side direction, and a program side for direction and revenue side to fund it. Keep in mind that the proposed cuts not only affect the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and its constituent base, but every coastal port, bait and tackle shop, motel, restaurant, and will see less economic activity to have production reduced. The salmon, LC Salmon Research Center is on the cut list. Why? During the 2013 session, House Bill 3441 was passed unanimously to make the ODFW Research Center do what it was originally intended. The new board is working well together and has adopted a proposal for research directed towards understanding what hatchery management practices and physical conditions are causing hatchery fish to be less productive. We need to complete that research. It could mean hundreds of millions of dollars of future economic activity. The bill will fund the research center for 10 years and answer the questions, so we better have better understanding of how to manage hatcheries. The ODFW spent $500,000 defending two court cases. Without the answers the research center can provide, they will continue to be sued and will continue to waste dollars in court that could have been spent on production or better understanding the flaws in our hatchery design. We have asked for $600,000 in bridge funding and in 2016. Before the revenue became available. The research should start immediately. In the future, we can hopefully avoid lawsuits. A geneticist is also needed and had been asked for. In closing, the back home, the fee increase in my district is not supported. I would say that the public does not have all the information they need to understand the consequences of a fee increase and that the reasoning behind the need of it. And they don't have those two components, the reasoning for the need and the consequences if we don't fund it. I really believe from the meeting we had yesterday and the people I've talked to that the hunters and anglers want to support the department. They want the department to be successful because they realize when the department's successful with their programs, that in fact, the constituent base, the hunters and anglers, are also going to be well served. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6. I've been very critical of this department because I grew up in Oregon. I've been hunting since I was just a young fellow. And the reason I am is because it seems like, my opinion, that we have a tendency in this state to manage for money instead of manage for game. And what I mean by that is you have a declining, in my opinion, a declining elk population in eastern and western Oregon, a mule deer and blacktail declining population, a declining pheasant population, a declining bandtail pigeon population, and a declining chukar population. Of course, that depends upon weather on some of those issues. But when we have such things that goes on, and it's always the same old thing. It's habitat, it's habitat, it's habitat. I've heard that for 20, 30 years. But what have we done about it? We're still in the same place we were 20, 30 years ago. We're in the same position. And that's unfortunate. This organization has had, in the past, over 400 biologists. Yet there's no accountability. What do they do and what's the outcome? They say, well, we spend a lot of time doing biology work for other entities, and that's fine, but it shouldn't take them this long to figure out that we need to backcharge those entities. That's just lack of leadership, and that's lack of foresight. What is the eventual goal of this organization? I don't know it as well as you do. There is none that they profess. This organization continues to come back, and it reminds me, I've used the example of Yogi Bear in Jellystone Park, where he comes in and gets the picnic basket. Well, that's what they did 6 years ago. You remember we gave them a pretty substantial increase 6 years ago. Well, they're back again. But they not only are they back again for a large increase, but they're back again with a deficit that I just can't believe that we would let that happen. So that gets back to the leadership part of this organization. We need to have a department that manages for game and doesn't manage for money, but more importantly, has the leadership and the capabilities to do so. Right now, I'm not confident that we have that. I will be a no vote on what they're doing with their fee increases, because I'll tell you, that will not set well in my district at all. And I think the thing that sums it up, which a friend of mine told me, and I won't say who it is, said, our organization feels like when they go out hunting, they go out and walk their gun because there's nothing to hunt. And that's may sound humorous, but it's pretty accurate. If we continue to raise the cost of this, who will be able to afford it? A family of four? Probably not. But more importantly, every time, and I believe it's the state of Ohio has a graph on this, every time you raise these fees, you lose hunters and fish people that fish. It's just a fact of life. So if we do this, we end up dropping the numbers, which in turn neutralizes the pay increase. So what this amounts to me is just let's get some management, let's get some people who will be willing to lead in here, and let's do the appropriate thing. Let's live within our means within this organization. But the real important factor to me is we need to work on getting people in the whole state of Oregon to support their wildlife. Because even if you don't hunt, fish, or trap, it's your wildlife. Doesn't matter who you are. It belongs to everyone. So everyone should be responsible. So we need to figure out a vehicle in order to do so. So with that, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Chair, Richard.
Yeah, very quickly, and after this, when we go to the regular witnesses, I ask that we probably don't have questions because we won't get through all the people we have signed up this morning. So.
Well, special witnesses here because you guys have been working on this forever, and you know, Representative Krieger worked for the agency previously. When I look at this budget, and I've said before, and people in this room have heard me say, I don't hunt, I don't fish, this is not my wheelhouse. So I'm looking to people like you all who do have a sense of this. But when I look at it, what I see in some of these agency budgets is a lot of mission creep. And so if you had to condense down and say, what is the core function that we do and how do we budget to that, what would that look like? And you might not have that answer today, but I would like to have that sense from you because, you know, what do 400 biologists do? I don't know. But when I totally agree with you on the sort of perverse incentive of we raise the fees and then the revenue declines and people don't want to come here and do that. And what value do you get out of the license if we're asking people to pay for an increase? But I would really like to know what you think if we had to sort of get back to basics with this agency, because this agency to me is sort of canary in the coal mine for a whole bunch of other agencies. Who might be 2 or 4 or 6 years out from some of the same problems. How do we put the brakes on this? That's what I'd like to hear from you.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
Representative Parrish, I think it's a situation of where we need to have accountability and we need to have certain goals with benchmarks. Okay, what are 400 biologists doing? Well, okay, they're doing this. This is the program they're doing, and that's the way we should base a budget on. If I come in and I say, I will give you such and such for X amount of money, and then 2 years from now, if I fail to do that, then that's where I get my accountability. But if I succeed, then I can do other projects as well. We don't have that in this system. The system is backwards. We come in and we say, okay, I need this amount of money, so I need 10% above it or whatever. It's wrong.
Just real quick. If they would follow ORS 496-012, the wildlife policy of the state of Oregon, there's 7 points. It's a good guide. And also, we are guilty of requiring them to have consultation with other agencies. And so they got a lot of staff doing that type of work. We need to make sure they're compensated for that.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to call 3 people up at a time. We will limit it to 3 minutes each. And so the first 3 people coming up will be Tom Wolf, Christy Split, and Stan Steele. Please begin.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, the Executive Director of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited. I've already sent in my comments that are on OLIS that talk specifically about what we think should be kept, but I'm here to make a statement about the license fee increase, SB 247. Trout Unlimited supports that license fee increase. We have supported it from the minute it was discussed in EBAC, the External Budget Advisory Committee that ODFW put together. Not because we believe that 6 years from now that we want to talk about another license fee increase. What we'd like to see personally is that this would be the last license fee increase for the next 20 years. We would like to see that this one be done so that the agency could go from a strong point, and then bills like HB 2402, which talks about the future funding of ODFW, could be discussed, a task force put together, and look at other sources of funding. How do we get the viewing public involved? How do we get money from them? How do we get more general fund? How do we increase the numbers of hunters and fishers? How do we build a base? Because I think it's counterproductive to keep worrying about a license fee increase every 6 years, because a lot of good, sincere people are going to come up behind me and say, we oppose this for various reasons. And they have every right to oppose it because of economic, because of they don't feel that their group is being reached. And those are very sincere things. But I think what we need to do, we need to pass this particular fee increase, work on SB 2402 and set up that task force, work on ways to really reform the agency, reform their funding, and then move forward from there so that we don't have to be talking about a license fee increase. And I don't have to be sitting in the same table with Stan anymore. Not that I don't love doing that, but, you know, because, you know, Stan and I may disagree on several issues, but we both agree the agency needs to be reformed. There needs to be better funding packages. We need to look at diversity of funding. So please, I urge you, pass SB 247, pass out of committee with the due pass recommendation, but let's look to the future for organizing and reforming the agency and its funding. That can be done, and that should be done. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Chair Devlin, Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, I'm Christy Splitt, and I'm representing the Oregon Conservation Network today. The reform of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is an Oregon Conservation Network priority for a healthy Oregon this year. We know it's a long-term process, and this is just sort of kicking things off. We'd like to urge support today for Senate Bill 247. Over the past 2 days, you've heard what happens without a fee increase. There's no general fund to fill the holes. Cuts would be bad not just for fish and wildlife, but for the people who depend on fish and wildlife to earn a living, and also for the agencies who depend on the expertise of ODF&W to do their own important work. We are concerned about some of the cuts proposed even with a fee increase, so you can imagine our deep concerns with the loss of even more field and conservation positions. We appreciate the continued conversations happening around Senate Bill 247. We think it's fundamental that we get to yes on it because the agency really needs to meet its conservation mission as best as possible in constrained circumstances.
Proceed. Chair Devlin, committee members, my name is Stan Steele, representing the Oregon Outdoor Council and just a lifelong Oregon hunter, fisher, trapper, shooter, and bottom line, conservationist. Senate Bill 247 is an extremely important component to wildlife management in Oregon because it's the base funding for what's called the North American Model of Wildlife Conservation. That conservation model has been the most effective model utilized throughout the world to recover and to ensure that we have plentiful fish and wildlife populations, whether you're a consumptive or non-consumptive user. We do have concerns, however, that a lot of the core funding that you heard Representative Krieger and Representative Escobar talk about is maybe not going to those programs that are going to support those paying this proposed fee increase. And that's the problem. And if we don't have the buy-in by those who are going to essentially pay for an extended privilege, then it's very difficult to build trust in an agency who's spending the funds that they're accumulating. And I think trust is going to be a key thing. Has that trust eroded over the last 20 years? Possibly. Have the cost of doing business went up? Undoubtedly. But when we talk about cutting hatchery programs to balance a budget, that just doesn't make sense. You can't cut the programs that are providing the product that your consumers are utilizing and then expect to sell more licenses. In other words, opportunities are exactly tied to this budget, this fee increase. And then I'm going to go a step further, probability of success. So what we're going to have to look at to get buy-in from the sporting community, a wide array of people, Oregonians, every part of the state, is understand that balanced predator management, balanced hatchery management, and increasing access. Number one problem nationwide for hunter decline has been noted as access. So there's a wider range of issues that hunters are going to be extremely concerned about, fishers are going to be extremely concerned about. We're taking in over $50 million in the last 2 years on Pittman-Robertson funds. Those are an excise tax that hunters and anglers and shooters are paying. There's no other source out here. We do need to find a source to make sure that everyone's paying a fair share. So my time's almost up. I want to thank the committee, and I want to especially thank Representative Dan Rayfield for the great effort. And yesterday was a classic example of people coming together trying to find a solution. There's no silver bullet here. It's going to take time. But the North American model is not dead. It just needs to be asked to do what it was designed to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all. The next three people will be Joe Rowlater, George Houston, it looks like, and Bill Clutie.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rowlater. I live in Walport, Oregon. I'm here today representing my local ALSI Sportsmen's Association. It's a group of volunteers of 300 of my neighbors. We do things like clean up the boat ramps. We maintain the boat ramps, put new gravel on them in our area. We understand that the department needs to be fully funded. Over the last year, both Stan and I, Stan Steele and I, who are on the board, worked with the department to come up with a coastal multi-species plan. That was supposed to be a 10-year plan for management of all the rivers from the Rogue North. This, if the fee increase doesn't go through, that plan will be completely destroyed. We'll cut all the hatchery production in the central Oregon coast. That will result in the loss of hatchery jobs in our community. A total of 7 hatchery jobs on the ALSI River will be cut if the fee increase does not go through. The hatchery trout purchases as well as the research hatchery are also very important. We think that we know we need to raise license fees. We think that cutting production will result in the end lesser license sales. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Devlin, Vice Chair Rayfield, Committee for the Record, Bill Clutie, Oregon Sportsman. SB 247, is it needed? Yes. We can't afford to step back. But we can afford to do some drastic changes. We need to improve deer and elk for sure. That's your big game. That's your big money. 75% of the state, the population is down, way down. We need to enhance all and keep all fish hatcheries, especially for fish that migrate to the ocean. We cannot afford to lose any of them. If the ocean turns upside down again, as it did in the past, it wipes us out for 3, 4, 6, 7 years. We got to have them hatcheries online ready. Programs that don't work, let's drop them. I'll give you a good example. The Eversoletz River. It starts in the foothills where the town of Valsetz used to be west of here. Premier winter steelhead system, coho salmon, fall chinook. The town of Valsetz, every one of them people hunted and fished. They couldn't fish that river out. Fish and Wildlife decided to make that a summer, wild summer one, steelhead only. They trapped and destroyed all the fish that went upstream, 60 miles of spawning stream. Has that program worked? No, they haven't gained any wild summer run steelhead. I seen the last report. They scrapped the program. Very costly. This has been going on for decades. Just a side note, I think they need to tweak their computer a little bit. I've been applying for a sheep tag since the very first day, and they've yet to draw my name.
Chief Bill. Please proceed.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield. My name is George Houston. I'm the president of the Oregon chapter of the Foundation for North American Wild Sheep. I live in Sandy, Oregon. Pleased to be able to testify in front of the committee today. I'd like you to continue to challenge Director Melcher and the executive leadership team of the organization to continue to figure out the best ways forward. Predation management of terrestrial, aquatic, and aerial predators is really a significant piece that needs to be addressed more effectively and aggressively. The field staff, the regional staff of the agency, is absolutely critical to delivering the agency's mission to the publics that rely on recreation activities of fishing and hunting every year. In a down economy, sometimes that's all they can afford is to go fishing or hunting. There needs to be something out there for them to work with. As my other colleagues have said, deer and elk are the bread and butter of what's going on, and they're down here, and we need to do some things differently. We'd like to see add some general fund and perhaps some lottery funding support to the agency. Our organization will support a moderate fee increase over a period of time. Not happily to do that, but we'll do it in order to keep the agency working and moving ahead. They've got a terrific staff of folks that works on the ground and brings the agency's mission to the folks out there that are paying the bills. The Lower Deschutes River acquisition, the Limeroth property, is significant to us. We've pledged $25,000 out of our agency's budget, and the Wild Sheep Foundation has pledged a like $25,000. So that's a total of $50,000 we've pledged to the acquisition process. And lastly, I'd like to thank the agency for passing along some funding to APHIS Wildlife Services for under contractual circumstances to be able to effectively limit predation in different parts of the state. Questions or concerns?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll call up the next three parties, Derek Barkley, Noel McGee, and Kimberly Priestley.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, and members of the committee, my name is Derek Barkley, and I'm a longtime resident of the Corvallis and a lifelong resident of the state of Oregon. I'm the great-grandson of an early immigrant of the state who received a donation land grant in what is now Southern Benton County in 1850. My written version of this testimony supplied to the committee contains additional information, and I encourage you to review it. In particular, ask ODF&W how they propose to deal with those who hold the Pioneer license card issued prior to 2007. I'm a longtime supporter of ODF&W and have purchased many sportsman's pack licenses packages during my working years without any intent of utilizing the majority of the tags and permits. I've volunteered at both stocking and fin clipping activities for a local hatchery. In 2011, I applied for and received a Pioneer license. The license was accompanied by a letter which stated, "You will receive this free combination license as long as you are a resident of the state of Oregon." That statement is reiterated in current descriptions of the Pioneer license on state licensure and ODF&W websites. ODF&W is asking you with this bill to break that promise, to convert the Pioneer license to an annual license with fee attached, making the above statement a lie and paving the way for future increases in fees for it, much as has occurred with the senior hunting license, which was free in 1984, half the price of a conventional license now, and getting a whopping 49% increase if you pass this bill unaltered. ODF&W has stated that their goal is to receive Pittman Robertson and Ingle Johnson funds for Pioneer licensees. Approximately 30% of licensees do qualify for such funds now, since they purchase additional privileges in the form of tags and permits, which allow them to qualify. I purchased such permits and tags in 2013, totaling $119, and in 2014, totaling $94.50. If I purchase similarly in 2016, the department will only receive an additional $6, the license fee, plus considerable animus from me. If this bill passes unaltered, I can assure you that I will not purchase similarly. If the department can renege on its promise, I can certainly renege on my support. As the department is well aware, this is discretionary spending. For me, this isn't about the money, it's about the principle. Do not allow this provision of this bill to pass. It is a prize long sought by many lifelong Oregonians. Those wishing to support ODF&W with additional funds can either donate to ODF&W or simply pay the full fees and not apply for a Pioneer license. It's not automatic. Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Co-Chairs Devlin, Rayfield, and members of the committee. My name is Noel McGee. I'm an ISS 7 with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, a member of SEIU, and president of the SEIU sublocal representing ODFW employees. In my role as union president, I regularly talk to a wide variety of staff at the department. What I hear is consistent reports of funding concerns and increasing needs for ODFW resources. I am here in support of Senate Bill 247. Lately, I am specifically hearing of the need to maintain existing programs, the damage that will occur if these programs lapse, and the Sophie's Choice presented by a failure to pass the combined funding package presented to the legislature. These employees have helped the department cut costs and adjust to new funding reality. The employees of the department will continue to be a vital part of containing costs in the future. In that context, the employees are overwhelmingly concerned that further cuts will deeply damage the department's ability to effectively pursue its mission today, while crippling its ability to respond to the changing needs of Oregonians in the near term. The employees of ODFW see the workload and the funding needs of the department on a daily basis in the most intimate detail. Because of this, they are acutely aware of the impact to all Oregonians if funding is not found to continue current programs. They consistently tell me that this would represent a very bleak future for the fish, the wildlife, and the environment as a whole in the state of Oregon. As the Ways and Means Committee grapples with how to fund the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Senate Bill 247 provides an opportunity to address funding for vital activities of the department. We urge you to vote yes on this measure and move it forward. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Co-Chairs Devlin, Rayfield, members of the committee. My name is Kimberly Priestley, and I'm here representing Water Watch of Oregon. Water Watch is a river conservation group that has been working for over 30 years to restore and protect rivers statewide. We are here today to ask for your support of Senate Bill 247. ODF&W is an agency whose work is critical to the health of Oregon's rivers and to the fish, wildlife, and people who depend upon them. As a river conservation group, we are especially concerned about the proposed cuts to the water program and to the assistant district biologists if the bill does not pass. The importance of the water program cannot be overstated. The water program, currently a very small staff of three in Salem that works in coordination with the district biologists and the assistant district biologists statewide, are involved not only in stream flow restoration and protection activities and developing much needed science, but they are also involved in virtually every water allocation decision in this state, whether it's reviewing new water right applications, transfers, extensions, hydro projects. Their review is part of the process, and they are a key component of water development in this state. They also serve a key role in state and or federal water policy initiatives that we are increasingly relying upon to solve the complex water issues facing our state. These include, but are not limited to, the Columbia River Umatilla Solutions Task Force, the CREST, the WISE project down in southern Oregon on the Rogue River, the Deschutes Groundwater Mitigation Rules, and two Bureau of Reclamation Water Smarts studies that are going on right now, one in the Deschutes and one in the Willamette. And again, these are just a handful of many. In my written testimony, I talk a little bit about the fact that there's a lot of attention this session being focused both on water development and on the integrated water resources strategy. And we are here today to say that, you know, these campaigns, we don't believe that they can move forward successfully without the involvement of ODF&W. And I'm out of time, so I will end with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next up will be, Bob Albertson, Bob Olson, and Randy Woolsey. Okay. Let's see, who do I not have? That's Bob.
names, please.
Okay. Sometimes it gets a little bit light on this paper, and it looks like Bob Ilertosn.
That would be Brooks Eilertson, so I'm sorry.
Okay, please begin.
Co-chairs, committee members, Bob Olson here today for Association Northwest Steelheaders. We would like to thank this subcommittee and especially both co-chairs for working with agency officials and stakeholders to help place this budget on a solid and sustainable pathway. As you know, many members of the fishing and hunting organizations reacted with loud negative voices when they heard about the fee increases being proposed, and they also saw no evidence of increased future opportunity. Our statements of March 28th and April 2nd are on the record in opposition to the original proposal. However, your recent hearings and related meetings have started to generate hope and ideas for going forward. The current version of House Bill 2402 is a good example of one of these steps. It has a lot of good prospects. Our organization is meeting this weekend, and we'll discuss these new developments. I think we will be very willing to continue to work with the department and this committee as we go forward in the days ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, my name is, and the members of the committee, my name is Brooks Eilertson. Okay, that's a tough one. I live in Sherwood and work for Fisherman's Marine and Outdoor. We have three stores in the Portland area and our corporate office and fulfillment center for our new e-commerce business. I've been in the sport fishing industry for almost four decades. None of this is new to me. I'm a born and raised Portland Oregonian. Fisherman's Marine and Outdoor is the largest single independent tackle supplier in the Portland area and has been now for quite a while. Our company provides living wage jobs for over 100, actually probably over 150 people with benefits and retirement. The largest outside influencer to our business is the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. We have deep concerns regarding the proposed fee increases and its effect on our customers, both the departments and ours, who sport fish in Oregon. We feel that it'll really interfere with the recruitment capability. We're having a hard time recruiting anglers. I think the agency knows that, and we know that. But even at today's fees, a family outing for fishing is very expensive, and I know because I personally tried to get my kids involved on a weekend, some of them coming back from their duty in the Army, some of them just, you know, typically they're young and they're worrying about a lot of other things, but I want them to be involved in the family activity of fishing. So we now have a barrier with the fees the way they are, and I don't think that raising the fees is going to help. Senate Bill 247 compounds the problem, and it punts it down the road for six more years. And it rewards policies that put the agency in a $30 million shortfall to begin with. According to ODFW's own projections, the size of the fee increase will drive 10,000 participants away from the sport. And we think this is low because many of our best customers are complaining to us daily about it on forums all the time. They get less, and it costs them more. With our three stores in the Portland area, this is going to dramatically affect our business, and we will have to lay off employees. We can't afford to lose 10,000 customers. Fisherman's Marine and Outdoor does need a healthy department, and we want a strong partnership, and we believe that the ODFW should have a strong partnership with the sport fishing industry. We probably, Fisherman's Marine and Outdoor, sell more licenses than any other dealer, but there is no plan on how to retain and grow the very individuals, the stakeholders, who are paying for the conservation mission of ODFW. So I'm urging you to reject the current fee increase proposed by the agency. There must be a better way to fix the shortfall,
Go ahead, hammer away at me. It took us a while just to get my name right. And our employees can't afford the extra burden that increasing the license fees and losing customers will bring us.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Senator Devlin, my senator, Representative Rayfield, I reside in Tualatin, Oregon. My business, Tom Posey Company, is in Tigard, Oregon. My business is a manufacturer's rep agency, and we I personally am part of the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. I also serve on the Columbia River Recreational Advisory Group. Our business calls on everyone that's in the fishing and hunting business in every corner of the state of Oregon. We call on distributors, retailers, have much interaction with recreational fishermen and hunters. I was pleased to hear some of the representatives earlier talking about families. They're the ones most affected by this increase. We will see, you know, when we call on these stores, we hear about the families coming in to buy licenses and how these fee increases affect those families. They're going to be hurt more than anyone. Later this week, you're probably going to see a number of rallies over this issue and other issues that are going on with the commission. I hope you take note of that. You'll see lots of people that feel disenfranchised with the department, that feel like this bill to increase fees over a long period of time is going to hurt their businesses, hurt their families, and we're certainly opposed to it. A better idea might be to have a shorter term with the department if there has to be a fee increase, to have benchmarks, put some pressure on them to reach those benchmarks, and come up with some better ideas than just, as BG said, punting it down the road for 6 years from now where we'll be in the same place we are and here testifying over the same issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would you please state your name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry. Randy Woolsey.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Now it's David. It looks like TNG, but I can't tell.
Yeah.
Rob Bignall and Bruce Poley. And while they're coming up, Ms. Schumann, can you check to see if there's anyone else signed up?
Good morning. My name's David Eng. I live in Eagle Creek, Oregon, and I work for Frank Amato Publications. We're one of the largest publishing companies of magazines in the outdoor fishing recreational industry west of the Rockies. Frank employs 12 people full-time, and they're all family wage jobs, and I sell the advertising for the three magazines. We have a readership of about 100,000 over the three magazines, and I also own a small tackle company out in Eagle Creek with my wife called Fishing Products. The agency regulates our industry, and we need the agency to be on stable and sustainable funding. SB 27 does not get us there. It is not the right vehicle. It perpetuates the same problems and just places them 6 years down the road that got us into this $30 million train wreck as we're sitting here today. I personally have no desire to see agency lay off staff, but passage of this bill will cause a huge drop of license holders within the state of Oregon. We've seen it before when they've raised them, and it's going to happen again. I mean, it's just a given. The fact that our customers are opposed to fee increases is in part because they, A, feel that the commission has lost touch with who their customer is. Then that's just the general feel of the industry and the general feel of Joe Public. And by the department's own numbers, tens of thousands will just be priced out of what we're going to go do on a weekend. It's extremely expensive to take a family, hey, let's go jump in the boat or go rent a boat at Faraday Lake. You know, it just doesn't happen anymore. Things are broke, and these just delay the problems for six more years. We need, you know, the problems looked at and fixed. It's just more status quo, and it's not working. You know, we need meaningful opportunities, healthy feeder fisheries, and strong leadership that is connected to the industry and the public. You know, thanks for your ear.
Thank you very much. Please proceed.
Good morning. My name is Rob Bignall. I live in Sherwood, Oregon, and currently a professional fishing guide on the Columbia River and its tributaries. I retired from the heavy and highway industries to guiding fishing, where those funds allow me the time and effort helping manage our fisheries. I do not condone what SB 247 offers. It's a band-aid fix to a much larger problem. Making our licenses more costly will only deter more recreational fishermen from buying licenses, which is already in a state of decline. Increasing revenue for the state by offering more opportunities, allowing more individuals to buy more licenses, which in turn allows more retailers to sell more product, will help our economy grow, not just following the status quo of bridging the shortfall with SB 247. With my unique perspective to our fishery on a daily basis, I see our fishing areas in the state decline on the Columbia River, where our current commission board is playing party politics, disregarding the 600,000 plus license holders who in large fund ODF&W is truly unbelievable. ODF&W has my complete support, as well as many of my fellow guides who have made recommendations for our fisheries that supports the growing economy, only to have the commission disregard those recommendations. This is an extreme waste of manpower and money that ODF&W does not have. Growing our economy is the answer to the problem, not throwing money at a sinking boat. I don't want to leave a legacy where our children grow up thinking fishing is something you play on an iPad. The real reward is families having numerous experiences under the guidelines of ODF&W, not by causing them to take out a loan to enjoy Oregon's valuable resources. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please.
Co-chairs Devlin and Rayfield, my name is Bruce Pauly, and I'm a volunteer with the Coastal Conservation Association of Oregon, CCA Oregon. I distributed a letter that we wrote to then-Director Elliker of ODFW on May 16th of 2014. And the reason I wrote that letter is because our message hasn't changed. Our message has been that sport fishermen and sport fishing funds the ODFW more so than any other group, to about 60% of their incoming budget. And you've heard some people already use words like disenfranchised or disconnected from ODFW, and that's exactly what my members feel like. Our recommendation to ODFW has been to focus on recreational angling. This state, like many other states, was originally set up for natural resource extraction as a base for its economy. All other states, after the beavers were gone and after trees have been harvested down to the nub, they started to realize that sustainability and recreational angling are the pathways to solvency for their agencies. We're not making more deer tags, we're not making more elk tags. So when members of ours are being asked for a fee increase, by and large, they're not adamantly opposed to a fee increase. They realize it's part of reality. But when you see a message from our state government, like putting the lobbyists for the gillnet industry onto the ODFW commission, it's an insult to the people that are paying the bill. So by and large, we support the agency. We support what's in 247. We ask that you prioritize the recreational angling priorities, which are investments not only in hatchery operation, but also hatchery modernization to allow us to make a better hatchery fish so we can avoid the lawsuits that were mentioned earlier, to fully fund predation controls, and to focus on recreational angling opportunity. For a couple of numbers, since this is a numbers discussion about budgets, sport fishermen put in about $62 million a biennium into the ODFW budget. The gillnet industry puts in about $500,000 per biennium into the ODFW budget. It's not enough money to even cover the management of their fisheries, and yet we're being told that we need to have the gillnetters lobbyist on the ODFW commission. It's a real insult to my members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. I'm going to call up panelists now in parties of two. Linda Buell and Tamara, looks like, Mottner. Yeah.
And if there is anyone that still wishes to testify that has not signed up, could you please sign up in the next 5 minutes? So, please proceed.
Okay. Good morning, co-chairs Devlin and Rayfield and members of the committee. My name is Linda Buell. My husband and I own a charter boat in Garibaldi, the Alaska Sunrise, and we work now for my daughter. She used to work for us. Now she's bought in the business, her and her husband, and they work. Our whole family is involved in the fishing business. That's the way fishing usually is. My husband is a charter boat captain. His father was a charter boat captain. His son and his daughter are charter boat captains, and one of my sons works for the ODFW, so this is a tough one for us. The charter boat industry isn't arguing against most of the ODFW fee increases for the resident Oregon hunters and fishermen, though it does think that look like the fishermen are having to pay the brunt of the fees, the most of them. We are very concerned about the very real possibility of a heavy loss from our out-of-state tourists to our charter fleets and to Oregon's coastal economy. We fear that many of our out-of-state fishermen will simply go somewhere else, California or Washington, you know, where the license fees are considerably less because they roll in their, both states roll in their shellfish licenses into their license, and the bag limits are higher. With an economy that's far from being being fully recovered, why would Oregon take the chance? Why would we take the chance on raising license fees that we've already been told will cause 10,000 people less to buy, not buying licenses? Whether the ODFW intends to do this or not, they are taking money directly from us, and if not actually destroying some of the smaller charter businesses than ours, they are at the very less making them less viable. One charter boat captain commented that he'd always been eager to help with the gathering of research data, often for free for the ODFW and or reduced costs. But he simply won't be able to do that in the future if we start losing our out-of-state tourists. We depend on them. We go to sportsman shows in the different states to get them to come to us. My other real big point of contention is the ocean endorsement fee, which I cannot find out any reason for or any benefit to our fishermen or our customers that is going to be charged. Mr. Bowles told me directly, $1, what's that to people? Well, it's another thing that we have to say. You need to buy your fishing trip, and then don't forget your license, and then, yes, we crab, so you need a crab license, and then, of course, you'll have to, you know, we actually include our filleting, but most of the other charter companies don't in Southern and the rest of Oregon. But they have to add that. And on top of that, we got an ocean endorsement fee, and I guess it's just because you're going out on the ocean. My question is, are you going to charge, is this going to include kayakers and surfers and other people who use the ocean, or just us and our passengers? It's one thing to spend $10 for an ocean endorsement fee for your boat, but then you're going to charge each of our passengers this for two? I don't know, because they haven't really said.
Can you please conclude, or is your daughter going to speak also?
I'm sorry. It's her turn.
Hi, Senator Devlin and Representative Rayfield and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tamara Mountner, and I am a charter boat captain, and I own, with my husband, Garibaldi Charters in the small town of Garibaldi, Oregon. And I also want to point out that, like my mom said, my brother is employed by the ODFW, and we also work closely with the ODFW. In fact, next week we are taking out a whole boat full of ODFW surveyors to do research for the Marine Reserve for 4 days in a row. So we work closely with the ODFW. I don't have anything against them. However, I'd like to draw your attention to a small part of SB 247 where the daily license increases are what I feel projecting an unfair burden onto people who wish to purchase a daily fishing license and a shellfish license. So what you see here is the 3-day shellfish permit, which is raising from an already high, in my opinion, and in most people's opinion, $11.50 for an out-of-stater, even if they only want a 1 day of shellfishing, to an appalling, basically $19 for 1 day of clamming or crabbing. So on a lot of charter fishing trips, you'll get your charter fishing trip plus crabbing. So the licenses required for that in 2020 are projected to be $44.50. So I don't know where these numbers came from. I'm guessing that somebody in the ODFW office said, hey, this looks great on paper. It's going to make us a lot of money. But I don't live my life on paper, and neither do the thousands of people over on the coast who depend on these tourism dollars to survive. We interact with tourists every day, and we know what they'll take, and we know what they won't. And they are not going to take this raise. If I tell somebody that they've got to pay $44.50 for a one day of fishing and crabbing, they're going to walk right out my door. They're going to go to Washington, where it is $20 for everything. Freshwater, saltwater, so that includes an ocean endorsement, shellfish, fishing, anything they want, $20 for an out-of-state, and only $11 for in-state. I get a lot of people from Washington, so they're not going to come. This does not just affect us. This affects everybody in our community, everybody you see here. These people that leave, they're not going to eat at the restaurant. They're not going to stay at the hotel. They're not even going to come back to our town the next year. It's just too expensive. They're going to say, well, those fees are ridiculous. I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't. So what we need is basically a price that compares to our competitors, which is Washington and California. We need a more reasonable rate of increase. The rate of increase on the shellfish, on the three-day shellfish permit, is a 65% increase. That is just blows me out of the water. I can't imagine who thought that was a great idea. Another option could be a one-day shellfish permit, but we need it to be cheap. People aren't going to spend all this money. You could roll it all into one, but again, it needs to be in line with Washington. So no ocean endorsement. That's my last point. Thank you guys for your time. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and these are all the licenses I bought last year. Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Thank you very much.
Sold for the audience.
Okay. Next up will be Peggy Lynch and Al Elkins.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan grassroots political organization that encourages informed and active participation in government. The League supports the mission of the department, which is to protect and enhance Oregon's fish and wildlife and their habitats for use and enjoyment by present and future generations. The League was privileged to have been invited to participate in the agency's extensive external budget advisory committee meetings, in part because we were of our participation in the integrated water resources strategy and the nexus between ODF&W's work and clean, abundant water for all. We also follow the other natural resource agency budgets, so having that broader perspective, I think, was helpful in the room. And for the person who has an 1850, I have an 1842 ancestor. ODF&W's scientists provide important data needed not only for implementing the strategy, but for the important economic development projects around the state. This is really an important nexus that we need to understand. So we support both Senate Bill 247 and the general fund allocation that has been asked for this session. It is important that both of those things happen. We also, however, support and hope that you look at Senate Bill 952, which is the task force for all natural resource agencies, to take a look at how they fit together, how they are funded, how they are integrated, and what efficiencies we can find as we work together. Thank you for your time. I appreciate all the work on this effort.
Thank you very much. Mr. Elkins.
Co-chairs Devlin and Rayfield, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. We are here today to provide testimony against Senate Bill 247. We have testified against the fee increases since they came before the commission last fall and continue to have that position. It's the position of our 10,000 members who have generated their concern about the fee increases, largely due to the lack of deer and elk populations in Oregon. And one of our members said it best. He said, Mr. Elkins, we don't want more hunting opportunities. We want more opportunities to see wildlife. He went on to suggest that if we build better hunting and fishing, the customers will beat a path to the point of sales machines. In relation to his last point, we would recommend that you consider seriously House Bill 2402, which looks at future funding for the agency. And I believe it's in Ways and Means, and that would be helpful for further discussions on how we increase the user base and the fee revenue base. The second point I'd like to make this morning is related to a topic that came up in the ODFW External Budget Advisory Committee, and it is one that has to do with the amount of time that the ODFW biologists are spending, up to 60%, providing support services to other agencies on the city, county, and state levels. And this is a blatant appeal to the Senate side of this committee to take a serious look at House Bill 3315A, Representative Rayfield's bill, which would help resolve some of these issues related to time spent by biologists on other projects other than related to wildlife and the agency's charge. That completes my formal testimony. I'd like to thank Representative Rayfield for allowing us to sit in his work group. We have our homework. It will be done. It will be submitted this afternoon, and we look forward to continuing to work on the work group. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And now our final two will be Jim Myron and Larry Sowa.
Thank you, Co-Chair Devlin and Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the subcommittee. My name is Jim Myron. I'm representing the Native Fish Society, and I'm just here to again put on the record that Native Fish Society supports the fee increase. We support Senate Bill 247, and we appreciate the opportunity to be participants in the discussions that are ongoing about potential changes to that bill. There was discussion earlier about mission creep of this agency, and Representative Krieger talked about the state wildlife policy. ORS 496-012 lays out clearly what the mission of the agency is, and in my opinion, there has been no mission creep. The primary duty of the agency is, under the state wildlife policy, is to prevent the serious depletion of any indigenous species. So they have the management authority for all indigenous species in the state. So working on any of those animals or cannot be a mission creep. So thank you.
Former Representative and Commissioner Sowa.
Thank you. My name is Larry Sowa from Oregon City, Oregon. I'm basically going to say what I said before the subcommittee earlier when we had a chance to testify. The American Fish and Wildlife Policy is that user pays for managing the wildlife and species. The problem in Oregon is, as we've come to and updated the Fish and Wildlife Policy, now the agency does a lot of things that they don't get paid for. People that develop things, especially long streams and like that, the agency has to come and review the permit, and there's no money that follows that. So the Fish and Wildlife license holder is left holding the bag and paying for it. When I was chair of this subcommittee in 1989, the wildlife or the natural resource agencies got 2% of the general fund because, as you know, because downturn in the economy and things like that, the general fund has been pulled away from these agencies. And now Department of Fish and Wildlife is required to do a lot of things that the general fund did and should fund. And like on wildlife viewing and things like that, we're going to have hopefully a task force to look and see how people that don't participate in buying licenses help fund the agency. My little group that I represent, people that hunt fur bears with during the season and things like that, they've come together, the board of directors, and support the fee increase. The management of fur-bearing animals is done by the department, and they've over the years, they've done a very good job, and we have a lot of support for our new director, and we hope that, knowing that he comes from Clackamas County, where I came from, he will change the direction of the agency and provide that our fish and wildlife biologists out in the field get more say on what happens. And so I was just coming here to say that they support the fee increase.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank everyone for coming today. This will conclude our hearing today. Okay. You are all off tomorrow. If you'd like to come to my meeting in the morning for 2 hours, just jesting. But anyway, we are we have concluded our work for today.